And we begin today with a story about an eventual shift in Arkansas's political landscape as legislative redistricting begins to take shape.
Now, this right here will take your breath away. It takes your breath away in a good way if you live in Northwest Arkansas, in a bad way if you live in South Arkansas.
Joe Woodson, Jr. is the redistricting coordinator for Arkansas's Board of Apportionment, the board that will eventually draw new legislative districts for the state. Last night at the Fayetteville Town Center, he stood under a large screen showing population numbers from the 2010 census. Northwest Arkansas is gaining population, the southern part of the state losing people. That change means this area should gain another state senator from 4 to 5 and add 3 additional state House seats from 11 to a new total of 14. Other parts of the state will lose House and Senate seats, though the total numbers of legislators in Little Rock will remain static. 100 members of the House, 35 state senators. So legislative district boundaries will need to be redrawn because each is supposed to represent the same number of state citizens.
Equal population is the cornerstone of all redistricting.
So districts with significant population growth in the last 10 years, those in Northwest Arkansas, many in Central Arkansas, and some around Jonesboro, will shrink geographically. Districts in other parts of the state will have to add real estate. Ultimately, the Arkansas Board of Apportionment, the governor, the attorney general, and the secretary of state will sign off on the legislative districts that Arkansas will observe for the next 10 years. But it's not as easy as just pushing this line a bit north or simply extending this boundary slightly east. There are rules, some firm, some more like very strong suggestions that need to be followed. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 must be adhered to so that nobody is denied or abridged the right to vote because of color or race. That's firm. County and city lines should be respected when possible. Incumbent legislators shouldn't be drawn into new districts that require them to run against each other when possible. And the district should be as geographically compact as possible. Squares and circles have a better chance of being upheld as legal districts by the courts rather than squiggly shapes that could create accusations of gerrymandering. Think of the every 10-year process as an Arkansas-shaped Rubik's Cube.
When all things are considered, I hope and I think that we will have a map that hits most, if not all, of those points in a substantial way and makes sense and is legal. So, yeah, but it's hard to aim at all of those at once.
For the past several weeks, people have been able to view rough draft of the legislative maps online, some drawn by Joe Woodson, Jr., a staff member for the Board of Apportionment, others drawn by the staffs of the 3 elected officials on the board. Those suggested maps, known commonly by their publication date, received much of the attention at last night's public meeting.
And I'm not advocating any particular map. The May 4th seems to be the best one out there at this point in time because it does keep these large communities together and keep the continuity.
Stephanie Vaughn is the chair of a group called Citizens for a Future Springdale. She spoke in favor of any state map that keeps all of her city inside one state senate district.
In the communities of the suburbs, that continuous flow there, Springdale has grown tremendously over the past 10 years, and yet we have managed to, we've grown into Elm Springs and into Tawny Town and into Johnson, and of course they in turn have also grown towards us. We share infrastructure, schools, addresses, we have so much in common there that I really would hate to see us be split apart. I think it'd be detrimental to those areas.
Springdale Mayor Doug Sprouse echoes the sentiment that a Senate district that includes all of Springdale would allow for the city's best interests, a solid representation that he doesn't think will be there if other maps that split Springdale are approved.
And what happens there is you've got a senator who's predominantly elected by another city, more than likely. And I think Springdale comes out of the short end of that. I think, Fayetteville's had a senator now for years, and I believe that, Springdale will probably pass Fayetteville in population within the next few years. I think it's very reasonable to expect from the citizens of Springdale that we have a senator who represents the vast majority of our city. Those senators get dollars. If we're split up 3 or 4 ways, we're constantly competing for those dollars that those senators have available with other cities that actually probably more than likely will have elected that senator.
And here's where the finesse of building a better map comes into play. The map that apparently best pleases those Springdale interests is opposed by State Senator Cecile Bledsoe because it would fracture the district she represents.
The May 4th map fragments Benton and Washington counties, and it does this by unnecessarily stretching the state Senate districts into multiple counties, and in some cases, instead of making them more compact, as would be logical in an area with the growth in population as we have had in Benton and Washington County, it just, you know, stretches them, and that's wrong. Common interest has been ignored in the May 4th map. Common interest that one would expect in the proximity has been, like I said, ignored, such as the trade districts. Garfield and Gateway do not trade with Harrison, they trade with Rogers. And in that May 4th map, the person that will represent them could possibly live in Harrison. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it has, I think, gone against the rules of being compact, contiguous, and representing one man, one vote.
Mayor Sprouse and Senator Bledsoe talked to each other last night. Both say they understand the other is representing the people who elected them. Both say they remain optimistic another map can be drawn to preserve both of their wishes. It's not just city and county boundaries that make up unique communities either. Miera Reith is the executive director of the Arkansas United Community Coalition, a nonprofit that specializes in Arkansas immigrant rights advocacy.
We did make an effort to build some awareness about this, but some of the traditional press where this was announced, whether it was on internet or through the traditional media, it just doesn't always get to folks that English is not their main language or don't have access to those media sources. So those efforts weren't quite bridged, and some of us in the community became a little aware about the process a little late.
Miera pointed out at the Tuesday night meeting that a big reason Northwest Arkansas's population has swelled and will earn the region more voices in Little Rock is the increase in Hispanic and Latino population.
This time in 2010, but also in 2000. In 2000, the growth of the Hispanic population was well over 200%. In this last period, it was 114%. So it doesn't take too much work to look at the numbers and the areas and where these populations have grown and see that huge impetus for the growth of our Arkansas population. Secondly, population in Northwest Arkansas is because of the Hispanic growth that has been happening up here in the third district.
She says Arkansas has yet to elect a person of Latino background to office at the state level, and that the Hispanic portion of the state's population is now 12%.
Strongly lends itself to a very strong statement of a population that is not being represented, at least in people of common ethnicity and background.
What would you ideally hope could come out of this every 10 year situation that we have here?
I am very appreciative of the dialogue that our constitutional officers and our redistricting committee has initiated here, and that they did give us a space to bring these issues to their attention and do inform us of this. The reality is when you do have spurts in population growths, as was the case with Hispanics, many of us, this is our first time engaging in this process. So being able to learn about how this process works and how we might engage and inform ourselves and also provide meaningful impact is something that is extremely important. So this was a huge milestone for us. And we're very appreciative that many of the staff of the constitutional offices have already approached us about having a conversation to better understand how they are setting up the communities. Because the reality is that census data in and of itself will not tell you exactly where all these populations are. And so for those of us, like the nonprofits that I do work with and the coalitions that are working so closely with immigrants, can hopefully help inform that process.
The conversations at the public meeting were cordial, informed, and pleasant. Mayor, state legislators, city council members, and others engaged in enough talk that the meeting room remained open more than 30 minutes after the formal end of the session. Joe Woodson Jr. says all of the comments and written words are placed into the record and taken back to the Board of Apportionment.
We will continue to try to distill all this information, put it out on the website. Myself and the staff of the other three constitutional offices will continue to take all this input. That will eventually result in some more final maps being released around the first part or mid part of July. And those maps will be more akin to a final proposal. These so far have been more like rough drafts, not proposals, and sort of just conversation starters.
There are a few more public meetings around the state, including a July 7th session in Fort Smith. The target date for the adoption of the new legislative maps is August 1st. The new districts will become official 30 days after their adoption. To learn more about the entire process, you can go online to arkansasredistricting.org.